Here's something most investors miss. It's not recklessness that costs people money. It's being late. Big shifts start quietly in policy meetings and regulatory rooms, long before they hit the headlines. Right now, the AI buildout is driving massive spending in energy, data, and infrastructure. There is a way to potentially benefit from that surge without betting on a single tech stock. To get the full breakdown, visit planwithoxford.com. Again, that's planwithoxford.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Starnes, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And wow, do we have a very busy show for you today, everybody. Great to have you with us. And can we start out with the great big elephant in the room? And that elephant would be none other than Senate Majority Leader John Thune. Now, I watched the president's remarks yesterday, and the president did a terrific job. He was doing two big events, and yesterday a lot of, well, just about all of the congressional delegation, the congressional caucus, rather, was in Miami for this meeting, Republicans meeting with the president, who is not only the leader of the free world, but he's also the leader of the Republican Party. And the president gave a terrific speech. Did a wonderful job of outlining all of the incredible successes that he has achieved over the very brief, I mean, not even a year and a half in office, and the president has just really done some pretty remarkable things for the country. But one of the big challenges here is voter ID. And ladies and gentlemen, if we do not get voter ID across the finish line, the Republic is going to be in serious trouble here. And the president is catching all sorts of blowback. And what really bothered me about yesterday, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch it on Newsmax, but it was, we broadcast the entire speech, and it really angered me to watch our president, a man who literally took a bullet to the head for this nation, a man who literally provided the coattails that the Republicans needed to win Congress. It was alarming to me to watch this man beg and plead with members of his own party to get this legislation across the finish line. It was embarrassing. But this is the position that John Thune and the Republicans in the U.S. Senate have placed our president in. And it's just unacceptable. Here is the president pleading with these 4 to 5 senators that simply refuse to vote on the SAVE Act. Take a listen.
And we're going to have to push the Senate because you have 4 or 5 senators that are, I don't know, 4 or 5 Republican senators. You'll have to explain them to me, but we're not going to get into that. But we're going to push them to get it done because I don't think you can politically exist if you're not going to do voter ID and these things. I don't think the people in this country will stand for it. So I'm making my biggest plea tonight. It'll make you, and I'm not doing it for this reason at all. It'll guarantee the midterms. It'll guarantee the midterms. If you don't get it, big trouble, my opinion. If you get this, your midterms, and they know it. For two reasons. Number one, they won't be able to cheat. And number two, the people are demanding it. Every time I go out, Save America, sir, Save America Act. We want the Save America Act, sir. That's all they talk about. They don't talk about housing. They don't talk about anything. That's what they talk about. And if you send it up there, you're going to win the midterms at levels that you can't even believe. And you're going to win every election for a long time until somebody really screws things up, and hopefully that won't happen.
And that's the president. And he went back to this theme several times. And every single time he went back, I just felt my blood pressure going up. I had to stop what I was doing and go drink an emergency Dr. Pepper. That's how bad it got. So it frustrates me because now the Senate Majority Leader is coming out and he is saying, John Thune is now saying that the American people really don't want the Save America Act, that it's just a bunch of paid influencers. So the Majority Leader is trying to convince, and maybe he has convinced all of the folks up on Capitol Hill, that the majority of the American people just simply do not want voter integrity. This is something that the paid social media influencers are getting money to advance this cause. I just want to go on the record here. Yours truly has not received a single penny from anyone to promote the Save America Act. Not a single penny. You say, Todd, what are you doing here? You're playing with words. You know they don't make pennies anymore. Okay, fine. Not a plug nickel. They haven't given me a plug nickel to promote the Save America Act. And it bothers me, and quite frankly, it's offensive, that John Thune would somehow suggest that my support of the Save America Act is based on how much money I'm getting from lobbyists, which is really rich coming from someone like John Thune, who is a multimillionaire many times over. How exactly did Senate Majority Leader John Thune get his riches, get his treasure? I do wonder. So Senator Mike Lee is now firing back at John Thune. Here's what he had to say. Cut number three.
Over the last few months, tens of millions of Americans have jumped on the cause of supporting the Save America Act and using the talking filibuster to advance it. I regret that some in Washington tonight are dismissing all those who feel this way and who have weighed in as somehow paid influencers or the product of paid influencers. This is wrong. So if you're hearing this message and you agree with these objectives, please redouble your efforts. Make clear, this is not the product of paid influencers. These are real Americans doing what Americans do best.
So look, here's what needs to happen. We need to know from the president officially who are the 4 to 5 senators. I mean, I've got a pretty good idea, but we need to know officially from the White House who are the senators who are standing in the way. You, ladies and gentlemen, need to be calling your senators from your states to make sure that they're supporting this and they know that you want them to support the Save America Act. And all of us need to be deluging Senate Majority Leader John Thune's office. This is an all hands on deck moment because now Thune is saying, well, we just don't know if we got the time to do it. No. You got to make the time. You have to make the time to get this across the finish line. But my question is very simple, and we have, I would say, thousands of people in our nation's capital that listen to this program, and they need to hear from you. Senator John Thune says all of you people really don't care about this. The only folks who care are the paid social media influencers. Is that true? Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. And we're going to be taking your calls on this during this hour of the program. By the way, coming up, we're excited to talk to our good buddy, Dr. Robert Jeffress, who is pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas. He has some things to say about James Tallarico, who most recently cloaked the cross of Jesus Christ in a transgender flag. Also, we're going to be talking to Josh Jones from Washington, D.C. He is our great Republican strategist. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to the director of an incredible program called Combat Anti-Semitism. So a lot going on here. The very latest on the terror attack in New York City. The very latest on the war. Senator Lindsey Graham, Lady Graham, wants to send the sons and daughters of South Carolina off to war. We're going to get into that as well. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, everybody. Todd Stearns here. And I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already. And at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Starnes. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Starnes, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Starnes or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900 and say Starnes. All right, a lot of moving parts today. But ladies and gentlemen, I think, and it is not an understatement to say, that the fate of the republic really does lie with what the Senate does here or does not do when it comes to the SAVE Act and the SAVE America Act. And I do encourage you to call your senators and let them know where you stand on this. There's really, and again, you're going to hear your senators say, oh, no, I do support the SAVE Act, but we just don't have the votes. No, they do have the votes. They can force a talking filibuster, but they don't want to do it. And John Thune is hiding behind, and there's not even a rule. Do you know when you look at the rules of the U.S. Senate that have been around since the start of the Republic, the word filibuster is not even in the rules of the Senate. So this is nothing more than the Republicans trying to slow down President Trump's agenda and his plans. Look, Dick Durbin, just a few moments ago, speaking in the Senate, said flat out, and he said, look, if this thing passes, millions of people are going to be coming off the voter rolls. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the point of all of this, is that we have so many people voting that should not be voting, and the Save America Act is going to take care of that. We're finally going to have fair elections. We're going to have integrity at the ballot box. And by the way, Senator John Cornyn, he's already exposed himself on this. He's already exposed himself. And I know the president's still waiting to endorse in the Texas Senate race, the primary. I think the president needs to go ahead, jump in there, and throw his full support behind Ken Paxton. Because at least we know where Ken Paxton's going to stand on all of this. We don't know where John Cornyn will say one thing and do another. And that's one of the reasons why the good people of Texas are done with this guy. The level of animosity being directed at John Cornyn by his fellow Republicans here in the Lone Star State is simply breathtaking, ladies and gentlemen. So this is where we are. Now, I got a note, it was a couple of nights ago. They said, Stearns, what is going on here? This makes absolutely no sense. And it doesn't make any sense. Again, going back to the CNN data, 80% of the American people believe that we should show an ID when we go to vote. 80%. This is common sense. And yet the Republicans refuse to budge. And the person says, Tom, what's going on here? What am I missing? Well, I want you to think about something. And this goes all the way back to 2014, 2015, when Trump finally announced that he came down the golden escalator, announced that he was going to be running for the White House. And everybody thought Trump was a joke. Everybody did. But then Trump started to debate. Keep in mind that this was back in 2016. That should have been a Jeb Bush election. Jeb Bush was the guy. Okay, I know we had, 17 people running in that. Remember, you had Mike Huckabee, you had Rick Perry, you had Carly Fiorina, Ted Cruz, but it was Jeb Bush. He was the establishment's choice. And they were enraged, not only that Jeb Bush lost, but that Donald Trump took him out. Remember, low-energy Jeb. Remember that? There was payback for that moment. Payback. And that's what we're watching right now, because the Republicans know they really can't, they can't do anything to stop President Trump's agenda. Keep in mind, President Trump's agenda is not the Republican Party's agenda. It is a populist agenda. It's the Republicans that kept getting us into these endless wars, and I'll get to Iran in just a moment. It was the Republicans who wanted to play nice with the Democrats. And Donald Trump came in, and he blew all of that up. It's a new day in D.C. And they know the only way they can stop his agenda. And there are two ways, and we're about to see both of these play out, I'm afraid. Number one is to use the system up on Capitol Hill to slow down and stop the president's agenda, which is what's happened here. That's why they've slow rolled a lot of these judicial nominations. That's why they're stopping the Save America Act. And they're blaming it all on Senate procedure. But it's really not procedure. It's about the Senate Republicans themselves. They're the ones that are doing this. You say, well, what's the point of all of that? Well, the second point is this. The only way that Trump can succeed is with a Republican majority. And these guys hate Donald Trump so much, they are willing to sacrifice leadership in the House of Representatives and the Senate if it stops Donald Trump's agenda. So I think what's happening here, and what we're going to see moving into the midterms, you are going to see establishment Republicans working behind the scenes to try and sabotage the midterm elections. By the way, you pay attention to Tucker Carlson. Tucker's out there now, and that guy is completely off the reservation. And you've got Nick Fuentes, who is now saying he's going to be voting for Democrats. He's not voting for Republicans anymore. All the puzzle pieces are coming together here. And you're going to have all of these forces lining up to stop Donald Trump. That's what the midterms is really about. It's about stopping the Trump train. And when the Democrats finally take control of the House and the Senate, it comes to a stop. Mission accomplished. And yeah, people ask that all the time. Would Republicans really give up all that power? Yes, they would. They've done it before, and they will do it again. That's how much they hate this man. So we've got a lot of work to do, and a lot of that depends upon you making sure you do your homework on all these Republicans running for Congress. You've got to make sure that you are voting for America First Republicans, not the establishment Republicans. I'm just going to tell you right now, North Carolina, it's going to be a miracle if Michael Whatley wins that Senate race. It truly is. So we've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot of ground to cover today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Now, coming up, we're going to give you the very latest on this crazy story out of New York City, where even CNN is giving the jihadist a pass. And one of their stories that came out yesterday, it was disgusting. It was almost like some sort of a novel where they're trying to turn these guys into just unfortunate teenagers. They're not unfortunate teenagers. They're grown men. They're jihadists. And they wanted to slaughter American conservatives on the streets of New York City. It's unbelievable. So we're going to read that to you as well. Also, we have a great interview coming up with New York City Council member Joanne Areola. She is really fired up about this. She says that as it stands right now, Christians and Jews in New York City, it is simply not safe for you to be in New York City right now if you are a Christian or if you are a Jew. So we're going to be talking to New York City Council member Joanne Areola in just a little while. Also, folks, as we go to break, we're very excited about my brand new book. It's coming out. You can now pre-order The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, wherever you buy your books. But we're encouraging you to pre-order now. Get yourself a copy or two. This is an exhaustive look at how President Trump saved America. The big question, though, are we going to be able to carry that flag moving past the Trump administration. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So, are precious metals still a good buy? Many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Mark in Florida, listening to us on the Mighty 990. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, good morning. You know, Todd, for all that we know, all these price hikes could be caused by the Democrats and their followers to cause division and to have people not vote in the midterm. All Boone and the rest of the rhinos are seeing is an opening to sabotage 2028. It's that simple. And Todd, the way I see it, if we don't get out and vote in the midterm, most of what we've gained could be lost. You already have seen what damage the Democrats are capable of doing. And if we don't get out and vote against them, you're selling your soul to the devil. My question is simple, Todd. What price are you willing to spend for your freedom? Gas and food prices going up is not worth losing my freedom.
Well, and you know that's exactly how people are going to be voting in the midterms if these prices are still. I don't think the prices are going to be high, right? I understand gas prices are going up, still much lower than what they were during the Biden administration. But those gas prices are going to come back. I will say this: grocery prices are still struggling. You know, they're still high, and people are complaining about that. The affordability issue, I think, is getting under control. But, Mark, the administration does have a challenge here because right now it's all about the international crises, whether it's Venezuela, Colombia, Iran, and, of course, Cuba, which apparently, according to Lindsey Graham, we're about to blow up. I don't know what's going on with that guy. But all that to say, we've got to get this administration focused back on the main narrative, which is domestic policy.
Yeah, gas prices here have jumped up 75 cents to a dollar here in Florida. And the thing is, Trump stated, he's working with Venezuela. They're getting their equipment back up. We're going to be getting the oil coming back in. You know, they're protecting China now so the oil can get into them. I don't know what kind of deal's going on there. But the thing is, if we don't get out and vote, you know, we're going to lose it. And they're just trying to destroy this country. That's all these Democrats are trying to do. You're right. They're just trying to destroy it and sabotage it. And we can't let that happen because are you ready? Is this country ready to deal with what we dealt with Biden? Do you want to deal with that again?
No,
they don't vote.
No. And it's not dealing with Biden. It's dealing with radical progressive. I mean, these folks, you know, Biden was not running his White House. You had the radical progressives running the White House, and you're going to have them. I mean, whether it's a Kamala Harris or who, you will have somebody. And this is going to, if we're not careful, the base of the party will become demoralized. And there are a lot of folks that are very upset, a lot of conservatives very upset that we're bombing Iran, that, you know, a lot of people don't understand why we had to do it now, what the big deal was. Also, there's some reporting out there that Israel told Obama the same thing they told Trump, that if you Americans don't start the bombing, we're going in without you. and Obama called their bluff, and they didn't. Of course, now is a different story.
Well, you got to get out and vote. You, these Christians, you got to get out and vote. And we went after Iran for a reason. Do your research. Do your research before you vote for somebody into Congress or the Senate. Do your freaking research before you put somebody in office. Because yeah. if you don't understand something, don't vote.
That's it. I mean, it's a great point you bring up, Mark. And again, when you go back and look at Iran and the history of Iran, going back to 1979, which is where our starting point is on all of this, this was a war that should have been declared right then and there. It never was. They kicked the can down the road. And again, it just, what troubles me, Mark, is that you've got a certain segment of the population, and they're almost willing to say that the moral high ground is for us not to attack Iran, and yet we would have to absorb some sort of a terrifying nuclear attack, a mushroom cloud over New York City or Chicago or Los Angeles. And I don't think Trump was willing to take that chance, and that's why he did what he did.
He was telling people that in 1970-something. Remember when he was on that show talking before he even ever thought about being a president?
1980, you're right.
Going on.
Yeah, no, you're right, you're right. All right, Mark, thank you for the call, my friend. And Mark is right. You got to do your homework at the polls. By the way, here is Senator Rick Scott from Florida, cut number 9.
Now we have to secure elections. If you have to show an ID for almost everything in this country. Show an ID to vote. You have to make sure you're a citizen to register to vote. So I'm going to do everything I can.
What's holding it up? Because I agree with you, and most Americans do. 85% of Americans believe, we should have proof of citizenship before we vote. So what's holding it up then in the Senate?
One of three things. You either got to get to 60 votes. We don't have them yet. We only have 50. Number two, you got to add it to a must-pass bill. And number three, we got to do the talking filibuster. So we've got to do one of those three things to get this passed. The public wants this done. On top of Donald Trump wanting this done, the public wants this done. Every Republican, Democrat, and Independent needs to make sure they go vote for this. I ask everybody, call your senator. All of them, even if the people have been on board, say, you have got to get this done. And call every Democrat senator, say, if you believe in this country and you want safe elections, you have got to get this bill passed. And
so
guess what? If you keep
filibuster?
Telling everybody to do it, they'll do it.
Do you expect a talking filibuster? You can't have a talking filibuster until the Department of Homeland Security is open, I'm told.
Well, I mean, it's very important that we get Homeland Security. I mean, you can look at the airports, you look at the risk of this country. What the Democrats are doing, they don't care about American citizens. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the risk of a drone attack in this country or somebody doing an IED like they did in New York City. They don't care, but we do. We've got to figure out how to get this done. I think what's going to put the pressure on is when these airports are just packed with people that can't fly. It's the reason we got the government opened in the fall. The same thing will happen this time. I don't get what the Democrats are doing.
All right, there you have it. Senator, look, I appreciate what Senator Scott is trying to say here. But again, the issue is, are we going to get it done or not? And if John Thune is holding all of this up, I mean, he's the majority leader. The buck stops with him. So if he's not budging, it is up to Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty and Tom Cotton and Rick Scott and Ted Cruz for all of them to come out openly condemning their leadership. Nobody's done that because nobody wants to upset the apple cart in the Senate. So now we just have this gridlock. And I know that people want to go out there and blame the Democrats. It's not the Democrats. It's the Republicans. It's the Republicans. By the way, Senator Lindsey Graham, I want to get your thoughts on this. The guy may as well be a Fox News host. Some people call him Lady Graham. That's a conversation for another time. Off the air. Anyway, Lindsey Graham is demanding, he's been demanding that we bomb Iran for years, and now he wants us to go into Cuba. So anyway, here he is now talking about the Middle East, and Lindsey Graham is upset. Are you ready for this? Well, I'm going to play this, and then we'll go back and rehash what he had to say. Cut 5, please.
Up to our allies, step up. get our air bases out of Spain. They're not reliable. Move all those airplanes to a country that would let us use them when we're threatened by a regime like Iran. To our friends in Spain, man, you have lost your way. I don't want to do business with you anymore. I want our air bases out of Spain into a country that will let us use them. To our Arab friends, I've tried to help you construct a new Mideast. You need to up your game here. I can't go to South Carolina and say we're fighting and you won't publicly fight. What you're doing behind the scenes, that has to stop. The double dealing of the Arab world when it comes to this stuff needs to end. I go back to South Carolina. I'm asking them to send their sons and daughters over to the Mideast. What I want you to do in the Mideast, our friends in Saudi Arabia and other places, step forward and say, this is my fight too. I join America. I'm publicly involved in bringing this regime down. If you don't, you're making a great mistake and you're going to cut off the ability to have a better relationship with the United States. I say this as a friend.
All right, there you have it. Lady Graham from South Carolina. A couple of thoughts here. So first of all, I'm just curious, what exactly do the sons and daughters of South Carolina think about that idea? You heard Lindsey Graham, right?
Well, our Arab neighbors, they're just not willing to get out there from behind the shatters and get out there and fight, so we're going to have to send the sons and the daughters of South Carolina to get out there and fight on their behalf.
I got a problem with that, to be perfectly blunt about it. I had a problem with that idea back when we invaded Iraq, right? Remember that? Nobody in Iraq wanted to fight for their freedom. Nobody. So what happened? Well, George W. and the military-industrial complex, they sent over all of our sons and daughters to go and fight, and many of them did not come back, and many of those who did came back missing limbs. And I'm just going to be as blunt as I can be. Right now, Iran has been attacking a lot of these Arab nations. It's up to the Arab nations to fight back. And if the Arab nations don't want to fight back, ladies and gentlemen, why should we risk American treasure over there? Why should we do that? There are some people out there that agree with everything Lindsey Graham said. But I've got a problem sending America's sons and daughters to fight somebody else's war. Big problem. And by the way, what is this? How difficult is it for us to say no boots on the ground? Because I'm hearing every single day more rumblings inside our nation's capital that is a very real possibility that we could have American troops boots on the ground. I don't think that's going to go over well with what's left of the MAGA coalition. Here's Lindsey Graham again, cut number four.
All the anti-Semites, to all the isolationists, I don't believe. Forget it. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day. They're the best ally we could hope for. So we have a commander-in-chief in President Trump who I think is Ronald Reagan plus, plus, plus.
I just don't like all you anti-Semites out there, you anti-Semites. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel until my dying day. Okay, I get that, but I'm never heard Lindsey Graham actually use, bear with me for a moment. I've never heard him use that sort of language or passion when talking about the United States of America. And isn't that the country that he represents? By the way, Lindsey Graham out there talking about how he's going out and he's making all these deals, telling the Saudi Arabians this and United Arab Emirates this. Okay, when John Kerry was doing that, we said that was a violation of the Logan Act. So I'm just wondering exactly who is giving Lindsey Graham all of this authority to go out and make deals with foreign countries. Because if you read the Logan Act, even lawmakers, elected senators and congresspeople's, even lawmakers can be held accountable under the Logan Act. Something's weird there. And all I'm telling you is that Israel is our most cherished ally. But we still have to put America first, right? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Gold and silver recently soared to record highs, then pulled back. So are precious metals still a good buy? many Wall Street experts predict higher prices ahead. Why? Because we still have trillions in national debt, a declining dollar, and inflation that keeps shrinking our savings. Even with corrections along the way, gold remains a historical hedge for wealth protection. That's why Morgan Stanley's chief investment officer ditched the 60-40 stock and bonds portfolio and recommended up to 20% in precious metals. They're getting educated, and you should too. Call Lear Capital at 800-992-2255 for your free gold investment kit and learn how you could qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold. Lear Capital has over $3 billion in transactions and thousands of five-star reviews. Call 800-992-2255. That's 800-992-2255 or visit LearAlex.com.
And welcome back, everybody. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You've got to be working those lines today. We've got to be calling Capitol Hill, and we've got to insist that these Republicans get the SAVE Act, the SAVE America Act passed. You know, President Trump yesterday was really sort of bothered. He said he blasted the original name. It was called the SAVE Act, and he said nobody knew what they were saving. So the president called it the Save America Act, and, well, now the rest is history, as you know. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Man, are you stuck at an airport? Have you been stuck at the airport? This is insane. So the Democrats refuse to reopen Homeland Security. Keep in mind that a portion of the Department of Homeland Security has been shut down for a couple of weeks now. And even though DHS is funded, TSA workers are not getting paychecks. And you've got people that are waiting in line upwards of what, 4 or 5 hours. This has just really been insane. Take a listen to cut number 16.
This morning, as spring break travel ramps up, chaos at multiple U.S. airports. Travelers facing hours-long delays during this partial government shutdown. Funding for the Homeland Security Department, which includes the TSA, expired last month, meaning TSA officers, for the second time in 6 months, are being forced to work without pay, prompting more agents to call out sick. That's causing delays of up to 3 hours in security lines, including here in Houston.
We got here at 10 a.m. My flight was departing at 1:50, and we're not going to make that here.
The guy said to me, heads up, it's a mess down there. And man, he was right.
In New Orleans, lines stretched through multiple floors and into the parking garage. The disruptions come as airlines brace for a 4% increase in spring break travelers compared to last year. That's nearly 3 million passengers expected each day.
Yeah, and it's not getting any better, and this is going to be going on for a while. And so the Democrats are like, yeah, tough cookies. Now, understand this. We've got chaos at airports. We have a lot of severe storms, tornadoes, ravaging places like Michigan, for example. And then you have these domestic terrorist attacks in New York City, and Homeland Security is hamstrung because the Democrats refuse to fund DHS. This is just unacceptable. But this is the reality of where we are. These Democrats hate you, ladies. Everybody, have you noticed that there's like a theme in Washington, D.C.? Once you get elected, you just turn your back on the American people that sent you to Washington in the first place. And I'm telling you right now, folks, we've got to put a stop to that. And we have the power to put a stop to that by sending these people back home. You good people in Texas have illustrated that with Steve Toth, again, Dan Crenshaw, off his rocker, and he got sent packing. So now you've got Steve Toth, who's going to be your new congressman, hopefully, if he wins the general election there. And by May, we could find out if you guys are going to have an America First senator by the name of Ken Paxton. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to tell you about Field of Greens. Man, things are looking up on the weight loss campaign, and they say in a couple of weeks, yeah, you'll be able to start telling.
Hey, Stearns, you losing weight, Stearns? Right now, I'm not at that stage. But let me tell you something. We've been doing it with Calitrin, with my PhD weight loss, and one of the healthier options is something called Field of Greens. And Field of Greens designed every fruit, vegetable, every vegetable that's included in this is designed to support your cells, your heart, lung, kidneys, and healthy weight. In fact, a university study actually found that people who only added Field of Greens saw measurable improvements in key health markers. Just one change literally changed everything. And that's why I want you to check out Field of Greens. You can do that by going to fieldofgreens.com, promo code STARNS. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code STARNS. One scoop, once a day, is going to make you feel a heck of a lot better. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. Dr. Robert Jeffress coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. And what a busy day it's been. It's only Tuesday. A very busy day. Write down our telephone number. You will need this. If you plan on calling into the show, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, as I mentioned, there's a lot of controversy right now in the state of Texas, a lot of conversations, a lot of debates over the Democrat nominee for the U.S. Senate, a guy by the name of James Tallarico, who has cloaked himself in the LGBT rainbow flag. He is a Presbyterian theologian, and he is making all sorts of headlines for all the wrong reasons. I could think of no better person to help us understand exactly what is going on and who this guy is than our good friend. He is the pastor of the Great First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Also, he has a great new book on miracles coming out in September called Divine Invasions. Dr. Robert Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress, good to have you on the show today.
Great to be back with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You know, Dr. Jeffress, I want to talk about your book in just a moment. But first, James Tallarico, this guy claims to be the spokesman, I guess, for Christianity. And he's got some pretty far-fetched ideas when it comes to God being non-binary, suggesting that the virgin birth is an example of why the Bible is pro-abortion. What say you?
Well, what say me is baloney. The fact is, this guy is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And, you know, he is so appealing. He's very eloquent. He's pleasant natured. And, you know, the discerning voter might say, well, that's a nice guy. And he's gone to the seminary. He must know the Bible. And he's talking about Jesus and things we believe in. But you have to listen very carefully to what he's saying. Here's the thing about progressive theologians, Todd. They use our same vocabulary, but they don't use the same dictionary. Their words mean something different. For example, when they talk about salvation, they're not talking about salvation from hell. They're talking about salvation from the hell of the inequality. When they talk about Jesus, they're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. They're talking about the Jesus of their imagination. They're talking about what they wish Jesus had said, not what he actually said. And when they talk about the value of Christianity, they say Christianity is a path to God. But they don't say it's the only path to God. They say it's one of many paths to God. I mean, this guy Tallarico, he said Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, these are different paths to God. And he said he's on the Christian path, but all paths lead to the same God. That is heresy, and he needs to be rejected outrightly for what he's saying.
You know, some of his comments regarding, for example, transgenderism, where yeah. He actually said, I think the question was, when you don't think about your family, when you don't think about your close friends, what do you think about? And the first thing he said was transgender kids. What do you make of that?
Well, he's really hung up on this. And, you know, he says they're not two genders. There may be six genders. Well, the Jesus whom he says he loves and follows beg to differ. You know, in Matthew 19, Jesus said to the Pharisees, God made them male and female, two genders. And when he says God is not binary, well, it's true, God's neither male nor female, but his son Jesus came in the form of a male. And Jesus taught us that God has made mankind binary, male or female. So again, all we have to do is test what this heretic is saying against the truth of Scripture.
Dr. Robert Jeffress joining us, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. You know, it's interesting when you see all the political maneuvering happening in the state right now, of course, that contentious Republican primary. Dr. Jeffress, you're looking towards the midterms. What are you hearing from the congregation there? What are you hearing from people there in Texas about the big issues on their minds?
Well, one thing I'm hearing, and I don't label myself as a Republican, I'm an independent, I vote for the candidate I think best represents biblical values. But what I hear from people like me in our congregation is, whomever is the Republican nominee, we've got to get somebody who can defeat James Tallarico. I mean, I think there's a very real possibility of losing the state of Texas, turning it purple, turning it blue, if the wrong person is elected. And so there are no perfect candidates, but we need to look for one, yes, that votes like we do and upholds our values, but we need one that can win. And I hope Texas Republicans will make the right choice in that.
You know, Dr. Jeffress, there's a congressman out of Tennessee. His name is Andy Ogles, and he's making a lot of headlines. He's calling for the deportation of all Muslims in America after the terrorist attacks in New York City. They still have not qualified what happened in Austin, Texas, to be a terrorist attack, but all the indications are certainly there. What do you say to people who want to deport all of the Muslims? A lot of folks will push back and say, wait a second, we've got freedom of religion here.
Yeah, I'd say be careful of asking for that, because the day may come somebody wants to deport all Christians. And as we further fall into a minority status, I think we need to be real careful. Look, Islam is a false religion. I talked about it on Sunday in my sermon. A false prophet named Muhammad claimed Gabriel gave him this revelation that became the Quran. It's a false book built on the premise that Muslims ought to kill the infidels, which would be you and me and Jews. It is a religion of violence. Now, most Muslims are not violent people. Very few of them are violent. But of 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, if only 1% are radicalized, that's something very scary. And we need to understand how wrong Islam is. But tolerance means giving people the right to be wrong. And I do believe that if we infringe on people's right to believe the wrong thing, to embrace a heresy like Islam, if we try to outlaw that, it will boomerang on us. I believe that our forefathers bled and died to found a Christian nation, but a nation that exercises tolerance and the allowance of people to be wrong in their belief in God.
It does seem to be, especially in Texas, where there's, I guess here lately, there's been a lot of concern over the number of mosques that are being built, and it certainly seems as though that's to accommodate larger populations of Muslims coming into the country and coming into the state of Texas.
Well, I mean, we've got, you know, what some people would consider some loony bin Christians. And from an unbeliever's point of view, Christians look like they're insane, having their own way of worship and what they do on Sundays or don't do. But remember, Christians have no right to follow a legal system that is in opposition to the congregation, of the Constitution. And in the same way, Muslims, they can set up whatever mosque they want to and whatever systems of behavior they want to, but what they can't do is violate the Constitution of the United States of America. And I think that's clear and needs to continue to be made clear. There is no sanctuary city or sanctuary mosque or sanctuary church. We all live under the laws of the United States of America.
You have a brand new book coming out in September. It's called It's called Divine Invasions. Tell us what an unusual title for a book.
Well, it's a hope-filled book about God who is still at work today. I grew up in a theological tradition that taught that seemingly miracles were over. They were just for the first century before the Bible was written. And there's no need for miracles today. And the only miracles that may occur are in third world countries. Well, I don't believe that, Todd. I believe God is the same. I believe he performs miracles of provision, of protection, of providence. And this is a book about how to discern real miracles from unreal miracles. So I hope I'll be back with you in September to talk about the book when it comes out. But we had an interesting opportunity Thursday to go to the Oval Office and pray for President Trump. And I'll just give you the report of frontline view of how the war is going. He told us, quote, "We are kicking ass." I was a little hesitant to share that with my congregation, but somebody reminded me ass is a biblical word. So we need to continue to pray for President Trump and for our troops in this important action. I got to say to the president, you know, Mr. President, we are here to thank you for your courage in pushing back, not against another nation or even another religion. You are pushing back against evil itself. This is a war between good and evil. And I think this is the case and why we all need to be in prayer for our great president and for our troops around the world.
I'm stunned. I've never heard such language coming out of the mouth of a pastor before. A Baptist pastor.
I was just quoting.
By the way, did he give you any shoes? We've been hearing reports.
I felt gypped. I didn't get my floor shined shoes. I'm going to have to. He gave me a nice challenge coin, but I'm going to have to ask for some shoes.
So I got one of those challenge coins when I was there. And it's so funny. I had a little PTSD because I read a piece yesterday that the president really pays attention to the shine on his shoes. And I thought, oh, boy, I forgot to shine my shoes when I went to the Oval Office. I hope I didn't have a bad impression there.
He does notice the little things as well as the big things.
Boy, he certainly does. He certainly does. Oh, my goodness. Well, Dr. Jeffers, we're so glad that you were able to get to see the president, and we know you've been a great friend to him and a great counselor as well. And we look forward to the book coming out in September.
Thank you for having me, Todd. Really appreciate it.
All right. The great Dr. Robert Jeffers, everybody, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. A great new book coming out in September. We'll get him back between now and then. But I have every single one of his books I have in my library. So he is a great, great writer and a great Bible teacher. All right. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So I don't know if you've been following this story out of Iran, where there are allegations the United States accidentally bombed a school and killed a bunch of kids. Now, the president was asked about this yesterday, and the president said, look, I don't think we did this. He believes Iran is responsible. Then he said, I just don't know enough about it. I think it's something that I was told was under investigation. So that's been the administration. And then the president wanted to say, hey, look, tomahawks were used, but other nations used tomahawks. And he doesn't seem to think that it was us. Then Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana comes out yesterday and he tells reporters, oh, yeah, we did it. We bombed the girls' school in Iran. It was terrible. We made a mistake. Other countries do that sort of thing intentionally, like Russia. We would never do that intentionally. I think the department is investigating it now. So, look, terrible tragedy, no doubt about it. But I'm just wondering, and some of you old-timers will remember, I have to think that back during World War II, there were many, many, many bombs dropped, and I'm wondering, did the United States ever apologize for any of the bombs that were dropped that took out, you know, inadvertently, civilian buildings like a school or a hospital or a church? I don't recall that happening. What about during the Korean conflict, as they called it, or Vietnam? So anyway, a lot of people are very upset about this. They're calling the United States immoral. They're saying that we should pay reparations. I'm looking at this, I mean, as a terrible tragedy, but ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we are in a war against Iran. Well, it's really not. They're pushing back now. They're not calling it a war. We're in an operation with Iran. So anyway, we'll follow that story. It's troubling, and it's an unfortunate set of circumstances. But the reality is horrible things happen in conflicts like wars. I'm going to call it a war because it's a war. I mean, we're blowing a lot of stuff up. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Rand Paul is now saying that he doesn't believe Donald Trump's reason for going into Iran. Does that matter to you at all? Again, for me, I think we should have gone into Iran a long time ago. So now that we're there, let's get it done. Let's accomplish whatever mission needs to be accomplished and then go back home. I mean, it seems to me that's the right thing to do here. Want to play some audio. This again from, well, let's see here. Jonathan Carl from ABC News, giving the president a little bit of a compliment. Take a listen.
I've covered five different presidents. I have never seen one other than Donald Trump who regularly takes phone calls from reporters. So I thought I would talk a little bit about that. I've spoken to him over the phone three times since the military operation, the war against Iran started. In each of those cases, I simply called him and he answered. Some of the conversations are short. Some of them can be quite lengthy. I talked to him today during the middle of the afternoon, and the call lasted for about 20 minutes. When I called, I was actually calling to ask him because if he was firing Kristi Noem, because ABC News was about to report that had happened. And it turned out that he was, as I was talking to him, reviewing the statement that he would put out saying that she was leaving office. And he told me he was sitting there with Marco Rubio, and he started to read the statement to me, and then he pressed send and said, look, you can see it now. You can see it now. And sure enough, while we were talking, it appeared on Truth Social, him saying that Kristi Noem was leaving and being replaced by Mark Wayne Mullen. The conversation then turned to Iran, obviously, the really big story and major decision which may define not just his presidency, but his entire political career. And I have to say, he just sounded incredibly triumphant. He said to me, they're calling me the GOAT, greatest of all time. And he asked me, and this, again, this is one of the unusual things. He asked me if I thought it was impressive, meaning the war. He said, what do you think of the performance? He clearly feels that he is a president right now that is almost unlimited in his power, and he feels that he can do no wrong. And he told me, well, in the first term, I built the military. In my second term, I am using it. But again, the conversation goes on, and it's in the middle of the day, in the middle of the war. He had just fired his Secretary of Homeland Security, just replaced her, and you know, he's available and talking about it. It's very unique. Let's just say it that way. It's a very unique situation.
Well, I think it's pretty darn remarkable. The president is able to multitask like nobody else, and the fact that he's making himself accessible to these reporters, it's something that no other president has done. All right, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, welcome back. By the way, this just in, apparently there's a suspicious package that's being investigated in New York City near the area where those Muslims tried to blow everybody up over the weekend. So we'll keep you updated on that. There doesn't seem to be a great, I don't think people are freaking out, but still, it's a little discombobulating. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Say hello to our good friend, great Republican strategist, Josh Jones. Josh, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing good, Todd. How are you?
Good, good, good. So we've been following the developments of, I mean, there's just all sorts of stuff breaking loose. And I know a lot of people are freaking out about the midterm elections. You've got a lot of candidates out there. How are things looking? What is the mood of the country?
Things are very competitive across the country right now between Republicans and Democrats. Especially the big thing that you want to be looking for right now is the turnout in some of these primaries. And look, some of them should be a warning sign for Republicans as of right now in terms of motivating the base to come out. If you look down at Texas, you had a competitive primary on the Democrat and the Republican side statewide for that Senate nomination on both sides. And yet, Democrats still got more people to turn out in their primary. Now, does that mean Texas is turning blue? Probably not. But what it does tell you is that the Democratic base is energized more so than Republicans right now to get out and vote. So Republicans in Congress that are running these midterms, you have to give a reason to your voters to come out on Election Day. Otherwise, you just won't have the numbers and you can't win.
Josh, I know that John Thune has created a lot of anger around the nation. Looks like the Senate Republicans are not going to budge on the SAVE Act, the Save America Act. What is it going to take to get the Republican base ramped up and ready to vote in the midterms?
I think a lot of it has to do with, and it's true to the conservative movement ever since 2016, honestly, circling back to the president. And having the president out on the campaign trail. And look, he said, and he's been out and about, but he said that he was going to campaign this midterm like he was on the ballot himself. And I think, look, that will motivate people to get to the polls. That will get his base out to the polls. Now, the question is, 28 and onwards, when President Trump completes the second term, is his base keep showing up? So I think that's the thing that Republicans these in the midterms right now in the short term is, look, we're in crunch time, frankly. It's already March, and we're on our way to November. So I think it's getting the president's base motivated by bringing him out into the campaign trail with you as part of it, but also, too, it's bending the coalition. So whenever President Trump is done, like I said, with his second term, we can still have those voters be part of the Republican team and coming out in future elections.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't see that happening. I am looking at significant divisions in the party post Trump, and it may happen even before he leaves office. And I think you've got the Marco Rubio, and I think it'll be multiple divisions. One of them is going to be the Marco Rubio camp. I think the other is going to be the J.D. Vance camp. And then probably the John Thune establishment camp. And the question is, who can bring all of those folks together? Because I think we may have some big problems post-midterms.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. That's totally a possibility. Because, I mean, Donald Trump has been the leader of the party going back to 2016 till now. So we're going on 10 years of Donald Trump leading the Republican Party, which has been great for the Republicans in terms of having unity and not really having major division within the party. But to your point, once there's a power vacuum at the top and President Trump can't run anymore, you are going to have these different divisions in the Republican Party that are going to start infighting. And look, that's not always a bad thing because primaries, it's meant to grind your axe against each other. So whenever you head to the general election, we have the best candidate that we can possibly put forward. So primary is not inherently a bad thing, but you're definitely very easily, and I don't need to explain this to you or your listeners, but like politics can get dirty sometimes. So it'd be interesting to see if Trump tries to be a kingmaker and kind of anoint his successor, or if he's like, I like everybody, I like Rubio, I like Vance, you guys fight it out kind of situation.
I will say this. I think Rubio's stock has certainly gone up. He's showing himself to be the statesman. I wouldn't say the elder statesman. The guy is not all that old. But again, he's got the experience. And when you look at who's in the room and who Trump is talking to and giving praise, it's here lately, it has not been the vice president. It's been Marco Rubio.
You're right. I mean, Marco Rubio, it kind of became a joke on Twitter and online and everywhere else about how many jobs he has in this administration. I mean, he is the Secretary of State, but he's also the National Security Advisor, a special envoy to all these different initiatives that the president's initiated. So look, Rubio is a workhorse who is, you know, pushing through one of the biggest people pushing through President Trump's agenda. But also, too, he's well-liked across a large swath of the Republican Party because he kind of checks that box for your more traditional establishment. So, you know, if that's what you're going to call it, conservative. But he's also, I mean, proven himself to be a MAGA fighter as well. So, and to your point, I think President Trump is starting to pick up on that, especially with his inner circle. I mean, he was just at Mar-a-Lago, the president was, a week ago, and was asking some high-value Republican donors there who they prefer. And the room is leaning towards Rubio.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that was the huge cheer in the room was for Rubio. And I love the fact that, you know, he's able to dispatch Rubio to all of these countries. And these folks have great respect for the guy.
Yeah, and I think you see that internationally. I mean, if you go back to the Munich conference a month or two ago, even the international leaders seem to respect him, you know, and take him seriously. So I think, look, this is a testament to the Republican Party across the board right now, is we have a deep bench. We have a lot of qualified candidates. Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, you have plenty of great governors across the country that could, you know, potentially run. So, you know, it's not to discredit anybody else, but he's really been, you know, this past year since taking office, really standing out amongst the crowd.
Josh Jones, Republican strategist, joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Josh, I'm just curious how things are going in Virginia. I know there's been a lot of pushback over the plans to gut the Republican congressional delegation. Do you think that could end up still happening, or are we going to be able to save those congressional seats?
Look, the path we're on right now is not looking good for Republicans, frankly. You have a lot of Democrat special interests getting involved in this referendum. It's going to the voters. The courts have already ruled that this is going to happen. So the last way to stop this is if voters defeat the referendum in April. And look, you have a lot of Democrats pouring money in. President Obama just cut an ad for the Democrat effort to gut these Republican maps. So my message to Republicans, particularly in Virginia, is get out and vote no. You can actually get out and vote right now because early voting has already started on the referendum. But also, too, get your friends to go vote. And if you're not in Virginia, send your money to the RNC and tell them, send this to Virginia. Because for some reason, it doesn't seem like a lot of these national Republican organizations are getting involved.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the RNC, what the heck? I don't even know what they're open. Are they open for business? If you asked me right now who's the chair of the RNC, I could not tell you. And Josh, someone in my position, I think that's a problem.
I know. I do too. Look, the RNC their primary responsibility is to be fighting for Republican candidates and causes across the entire country and organizing those efforts and allocating resources. So the fact that, you know, as people who kind of live and breathe this stuff and we don't know what they're doing is, you know, just an absolute awful testament to what they're currently organizing. And look, you got other organizations who are getting involved. So I don't want to paint the picture as if nobody's jumping into this fight. But if you're trying to make the argument that the entire national Republican apparatus is coming in to try and save these congressional seats, it's just not happening, at least not yet.
No. Are you ready for these numbers, Josh? I can't wait for you to hear these numbers. They spent nearly $100 million on campaign advertising for the Senate seat in Texas, the one that they still don't have a nominee for. Can you believe that was just outrageous, the amount of money the Republicans spent?
It is outrageous. To your point, $100 million spent in Texas. Mind you, look, whether you're on John Cornyn's side or Ken Paxton, frankly, whoever the Republican nominee is, they have a pretty good chance of winning, regardless if you like the person or not. You know what we don't have a chance of winning? Is if they gerrymander these maps in Virginia, there's just no path to victory and we lose four Republican seats. So, look, I think that raises a lot of questions about the priorities of some of these organizations and people at the top of where they're allocating their time and money, because reality is Texas is probably going to stay red. We'll keep that Senate seat red. Meanwhile, we're about to lose four House seats, and nobody seems to be doing anything.
And if everybody, and here's the thing, there's so many Republicans that are retiring from safe districts that leaves those seats up for grabs now. But let's just say everybody wins what they're supposed to win, and we lose those seats in Virginia, we lose the House.
Exactly. The road to majority, and look, Democrats recognize it. That's why they're all getting involved. That's why Obama, Hakeem Jeffries, obviously Governor Spanberger, that's why they're all pushing this so hard and getting involved, because they know they want a majority in the House. This is the easiest way for them to do it. Mm.
All right. Josh, be safe out there. I know you're on the road, my friend, and we hope to see you tonight on Newsmax.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Jones, everybody, a smart guy. He knows, and he's got his finger on the pulse of America. They spent, are you ready for this, $98.2 million in that Senate race so far. $59 million of that was spent by John Cornyn. That is $59 million that could have been used to fight the Democrats in the general election that we will not have now. So there you go. That is the state of affairs in Texas. But that also shows you the amount of money. And when you take a look at dollar numbers that big, John Cornyn is not the senator for the good people of Texas. He is the senator for the good people who gave him $59 million. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Mike Lindell and his employees over at MyPillow, they want to thank you for your great support over this past year, and they just do terrific work. What a great American company providing American-made pillows and all sorts of other great things. MyPillow now offering exclusive free shipping on your entire order, and that order, wholesale pricing. That means they're bringing back the mega sale exclusively for listeners of the Todd Stern Show. For example, classic MyPillows, normally $49.98, now marked down to only $14.98. You can turn any mattress into the best mattress ever with the Made in the USA MyPillow My Mattress Topper. You're going to save up to $100 on that. Now, I want you to go to MyPillow.com. You'll see all the incredible specials. MyPillow.com. Use promo code STARNS, and you're going to get free shipping. You're also going to get those prices at wholesale numbers. Again, MyPillow.com, code STARNS, or give them a call, 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code STARNS. Order now, and your entire order ships free. All right, we're following some of these new developments out of New York City and getting a little bit more serious. We can tell you that now 10 blocks around Gracie Mansion, which is the residence of the mayor, has now been evacuated. Gracie Mansion has been evacuated after a suspicious device was found. The NYPD are currently evacuating the area. We're going to keep you updated on the developments there as they happen, but this is all happening in real time, so you're going to want to be listening to your local radio station for updates. We'll bring you up to speed at the top of the next hour. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now here's some intel on these two men, 18 and 19 years old, from wealthy families in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, rather. And they are the suspects in the bombing, at the failed bombing at the protest over the weekend, Cut 25.
Alleged, both defendants have admitted that they acted on Saturday because of ISIS. As Kayumi was being placed into an NYPD vehicle following his arrest, a person in the crowd asked why he had done this. As shown on NYPD body-worn camera footage referenced in the complaint, Kayumi responded with ISIS. And at the precinct, after being advised of his Miranda rights and waiving those rights, Kayumi said in recorded post-arrest statements that he had watched ISIS propaganda on his phone and that his actions that day were partly inspired by ISIS. The complaint also details statements made by Amir Balat after his arrest. En route to the NYPD precinct, Balat made spontaneous statements without being questioned by NYPD officers that were captured on body-worn camera footage. He said, "This isn't a religion that just stands when people talk about the blessed name of the prophet. We take action, we take action." As well as, "If I didn't do it, someone else will come and do it." And later, after waiving his rights, he requested paper and wrote a message declaring in part, "I pledge my allegiance to the Islamic State. Die in your rage, you kuffar." Now, "die in your rage" is a commonly known ISIS slogan, and kuffar is an Arabic term that refers to non-believers. He also told investigators that he had hoped to carry out an attack even bigger than the Boston Marathon bombing, which he noted resulted in only 3 deaths. These statements, as set forth in the complaint, make clear that this was not random violence. This was a planned attack motivated by extremist ideology and inspired by a violent foreign terrorist organization. The complaint alleges not only why the defendants acted, but how. Preliminary testing has determined that one of the devices contained triacetone triperoxide, or TATP, also commonly referred to as Mother of Satan, a highly volatile explosive that has been used in multiple terrorist attacks over the last decade. As we have previously discussed, the NYPD identified a vehicle yesterday on East End Avenue that was linked to the defendants. Inside that vehicle, investigators recovered handwritten notes referencing TATP explosive and listing chemical ingredients for the type of explosive device used by the defendants on Saturday.
All right, that was Jessica Tisch. She's the NYPD police commissioner. Now, yesterday, President Trump in this press conference said, "Hey, look, there are thousands of Iranian sleeper cells all over America." Did he say thousands? I don't know if he said a number, but there were a lot of them. But he said they had them all under surveillance. All right, I got a question about that. So if we've got known Iranian sleeper cells in America and they're under surveillance, why aren't those sleeper cells in custody right now? Why are we not actively arresting these dangerous people and deporting them out of our country? Why are we not doing that? So it's a question that deserves to have a little bit more of an answer than we got yesterday at the press briefing at the news conference in Miami. But again, President Trump says, "Hey, look, we know where these people are. We've got tabs on them." I got to tell you, folks, that it's too much of a risk, especially with what happened in Austin, Texas last weekend, with what happened in New York City just recently over the weekend. And now we've got another situation unfolding in New York City on the Upper East Side. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. If you want to weigh in today, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us this hour of the program. So, we're dealing with some breaking news out of New York City right now. We understand that as many as 10 blocks have been completely evacuated. Gracie Mansion, which is the residence of the New York City mayor, has been evacuated because of a suspicious device. Now, this device was located near the area where you had the attempted Islamic bombing just a couple of days ago. Traffic is blocked off in the streets as well. The device was located in a nearby park, and somebody called it in. So they're taking whatever is going on there at Gracie Mansion, they're taking very seriously. And we're going to keep you updated on this particular story throughout the hour. Yesterday on my Newsmax TV show, New York City Councilwoman Joanne Arriola dropped by, and she is very concerned about the situation in New York City, and she had a message for all of you Christians and all of you Jews. Let's take a listen.
Well, joining me now, Joanna Arriola, Republican New York City Council member. Good to have you with us. Just let's get right to the point here. Are the Christian and Jewish citizens of New York City safe tonight?
They're not safe. No one is safe. Because finally, our mayor has recognized that these are radical, Muslim, Islamic, ISIS-driven terrorists. And they are in our midst. And we can thank the Biden and Obama administration for these cells being allowed to cross on into our borders and be in our city and many cities across the United States of America. And when you have, we can just talk about the police department, the job that they did protecting the peaceful protesters, because this is being portrayed as an attempt on the mayor and his wife's life, which they were adjacent, actually, to this terrorist attack. But it really was an attack on a peaceful protest with people with conservative values. And that's very scary.
Well, the mayor actually downplayed the Islamic angle. He did that all weekend and instead accused the victims of being white supremacists. Let's take a listen.
On Saturday, a protest was held outside Gracie Mansion, where I live with my wife, Rama. Neither of us were home at the time. This was a vile protest rooted in white supremacy entitled Stop the Islamic Takeover of New York City.
All right, council member, you just heard the mayor there. How do you respond?
I think that if he doesn't want the Muslim community painted with a wide brush, he shouldn't paint other communities with a wide brush. They were peaceful protesters. They were not being disruptive. Police were on site. They were exercising their First Amendment rights when Islamic radical ISIS terrorists came to throw bombs at them and admittedly have been motivated by ISIS, admittedly wanted more deaths at that incident than they had at the Boston Marathon. This is what we have in our borders, in our cities. And New York isn't safe. And New York will be less safe because the mayor has now canceled any additional police recruitment classes coming out of the NYPD, which Mayor Adams, during his term, had funded and allowed. I don't know why he'd want to cut that. We need our police. It's shown right there in the video why.
How concerned should New Yorkers be that the mayor's wife has been liking a lot of very, very dangerous and disturbing messages on social media, seemingly backing the terrorist who committed those great atrocities in Israel back October 7th?
Well, I came out against that right away. And the mayor's response was, well, she's a private citizen. No, she's married to the mayor. One of the greatest cities in the world. She is his wife. She is our first lady. She has staffing that is funded by our taxpayers. She needs to be held accountable. And what my tweet said was, he not only affiliates with radical Islamic terrorists, he's actually married to someone else who believes the same way. And we've said from day one, show me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. And this mayor is certainly showing us who he is.
Well, he certainly is, ladies and gentlemen, and we always appreciate Joanne Arriola joining us on our Newsmax show. They were in meetings today. She wasn't able to join us live. Also, Vicky Palladino, who hopes to be with us tomorrow. But again, it is a very chaotic situation, and it's unacceptable. Now, the question is, what's going to happen? Well, there's not much that can happen. This is the guy the New York City voters wanted. So what you get, what you vote for. I mean, it really is that simple. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to play some audio here. This is an interesting CNN poll. And they asked Americans about serving in the military, all right? Americans who served in the military, whether they support President Trump's airstrikes on Iran. Cut number 23.
overall public and those who are either currently or have served in the military. Take a look at this Fox News poll that came out during the past week. Net approval rating of the current U.S. military action against Iran. Look at that. Overall, Fox News shows a dead even split. But look at those who served in the military. Significantly higher support for the U.S. military action currently going on in Iran at plus 20 points. That should not be so much of a surprise, because take a look at how they view Trump's foreign policy overall. Again, look at those who served in the U.S. military versus overall. If you look at Trump's foreign policy overall, the net approval rating on that per Fox News, those who served in the military, they like what's going on average. Look at that. The net approval rating plus 8 points for Trump's foreign policy. But look at those overall. Way, way down there at minus 20 points. We're talking about a nearly 30-point gap between those who served in the military and overall. And this split, when it comes to those who served in the military and overall, dates back to Trump's elections, all the way back to 2016, but let's look at the 2024 numbers. Look at this. 2024 results. Those who served in the military, Trump won them by, get this, 31 points. Kamala Harris actually won all other voters by 2 points. And that means, Johnny Berman, that means that Donald Trump only won in 2024 because of support from those who served in the military.
Well, there you go. I mean, it really is that simple. When you look at the military, especially, I know we have a lot of veterans, a lot of active duty folks that listen to the show. What Donald Trump did to the military is just simply remarkable. The president and our war secretary, Pete Hegseth, understanding almost immediately that the Pentagon was broken and it had to be fixed. And in no time at all, they were able to return that warrior ethos back to the Pentagon, where you had literally drag queens running around, prancing around Navy ships, when you had diversity, equity, and inclusion that was being shoved down the throats of the service members, when you had the greatest fighting force on the planet turned into a social engineering petri dish. Yeah, there were problems, and Trump and Hegseth are undoing all of the damage. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926, a Social Security update, a new study finding 70% of Americans do not get the full benefits they deserve. Now, get this. There are some very simple strategies to boost your Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Michael Allen is a Social Security expert, and he has developed 5 key strategies to increase your benefits. It's all in his free special report. Now, Newsmax wants you to get a copy of this report, and all you need to do is to give us a call. You're going to get it free of charge, 800-999-9690. Again, that's 800-999-9690. We're going to text you all the information right away, so give us a call right now, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. All right, coming up a little bit later on this evening, we've got Tim Burchett coming on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. That's going to be a wild conversation. Also, we're excited to welcome Congressman Greg Stube and Tracy Burns, who used to be at Fox Business, now has a brand new book out, and she's going to help us with our taxes. This is going to be great. A brand new book called Deduct Everything, Hundreds of Tax Tips, Legal Write-Offs, Credits, and Loopholes. You know what? I'm going to buy 2 copies of that book. I got to talk to my tax. You know, I've got a new tax person this year, and I'm really excited about her. She is great. All I ask is that I don't have to pay any more in taxes. That's all. All right. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That number again, 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. Going back to this report of what happened outside of Gracie Mansion in New York City. This is from Fox News Channel, cut number 7.
Hi, Dana. Well, overnight, the investigation escalated once again. Federal sources telling me more IEDs were discovered in a Pennsylvania storage unit connected to this case. You can hear an explosion as the bomb squad conducted a controlled detonation to safely remove these devices for further analysis. Investigators say the homemade bombs Ibrahim Kayumi and Amir Balat carried to a Saturday anti-Muslim protest in New York City never detonated, but could have, but if they had, it would have been catastrophic. Both men appeared in federal court yesterday. The FBI says the suspects made multiple pro-ISIS statements, and one of them expressed a desire to carry out an attack even bigger than the Boston Marathon bombing. Fox News Digital captured these images of the homes of the two suspects, both located in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Both men are U.S. citizens. One suspect's parents, naturalized U.S. citizens from Turkey. The other, naturalized U.S. citizens from Afghanistan. An attorney for Amir Balat on the left said his client was a high school senior with, quote, complicated stuff going on in his personal life. Ibrahim Kayumi on the right graduated from high school in 2024, according to a Pennsylvania school district.
Younger and younger individuals who are radicalizing and mobilizing to violence. And this is taking place against the backdrop of social media, the dynamics of online culture. It's not limited to ISIS. It's across the ideological spectrum.
Both men are being held without bail and are due back in court early next month.
All right, there you go. The very latest, Congressman Randy Fine from Florida weighing in on that. Cut number eight.
One word, it's deport. I mean, the fact of the matter is Mamdani hates America, hates the Judeo-Christian civilization that we have here. You know, we're allowed to protest whatever we want. We hear this all the time from the left. When they were doing all this ridiculous stuff on our college campuses, people like this jerk mayor talked about how they had a First Amendment right to say whatever they want. That's not the issue. The issue is two Muslim terrorists who were inspired by ISIS, who traveled to the Middle East, threw bombs at people. That is the issue. You're allowed to say whatever you want in this country. You're not allowed to throw bombs. But Mamdani is covering for the Muslim terrorists that he supports, whether it's in the Middle East or whether it's in America. He should be stripped of his citizenship and he should be deported.
Yeah, I agree with him. I agree with him. You got to do it. You got to crank down. You do. Dylan, when was the last time you went out for dinner?
Oh, it's been a minute, actually. I tend to order in, and that's not smart financially, but it's been a minute.
Well, I'm not judging. I mean, we just ordered. We had Chick-fil-A. The whole staff, we grabbed Chick-fil-A.
I've been trying to eat better as well, so the new, lose a couple pounds.
We got a new guy, and he was like, I'll have a number seven. We're like, wait. How do you memorize your order?
Yeah, I only know number one from Chick-fil-A, so number seven is way, way down there. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that is.
That's very specific.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That is very specific.
Apparently, it's the grilled chicken sandwich, if you were curious.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I was somewhat curious.
Yeah. Well, since we're both, you know, kind of, we're on a diet, so we need to know number seven.
That's good to know. I did not have number seven. I had a number one.
Me either.
The reason I asked that is there somebody wrote this on social media, and it's getting a little attention. She said, my husband and I went out to dinner last night, and the bill came out to $200. I left a $50 tip on the table. That's a pretty good tip for on a $200 meal. That's not too bad. Thinking it was pretty reasonable. But the waiter looked at it and refused to take the tip. The waiter then told the couple that if we weren't willing to leave at least $85, we should not be eating out in the first place. What?
Wow.
The woman says, I was honestly caught off guard. I felt embarrassed sitting there like we'd done something wrong. We weren't trying to be cheap or disrespectful. I genuinely thought $50 was a fair tip for that bill. Now I keep replaying the whole thing in my head, wondering if I misjudged it and questioning whether $50 really wasn't enough.
Jeez.
Could you imagine?
I would have just said, yeah, I'll take it back then if you don't want it.
Wow. That's, you know what I would have done? I would have just slipped I would have taken the $50 back and I would have slipped a $1 bill in.
There you go.
Unbelievable. Yeah. That's crazy. But anyway, that's a pretty reasonable, that's above 20%.
Yeah. Well, maybe he didn't deserve it. Maybe he didn't deserve more than $50. You never know.
But the average tip, what is it, 20% now? Is that what people
tip? That's pretty average. Yeah, 20%.
I mean, look, I have a long history of doing this. I normally tip 100%. You know, I just like to be generous, and the service is really good. I always tip at least 25%, and then if the service is really good, I'll do 100%. And it's an honor to be able to do that because all those guys and gals work very hard. But the reality is this tipping thing, it's off the charts. I think we're going to have a civil war based on how much you should tip somebody.
Yeah, the little tablets that they have sometimes at these coffee shops, and they just flip it around.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they stare at you until you press something.
It happened to me today. Today.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there, and hold on, here's the thing. The only thing I did was get a cup of coffee. Well, actually it was tea.
Yeah.
And they flip it over, and it's like, give you tipping options.
Yeah.
And you're like, for what?
Have you noticed that the default numbers on those tablets are getting higher and higher?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
It was almost, so I picked the $3 tip, but I'm like, the tea was like $4 or something. That's $7.
It's almost 100%.
What's the point? And then you have to deliver your own mug.
Yeah, you do.
You have to bust your own table.
You have to clean it. You got to put it back.
There's got to be a better way. There has to be a better way. But I don't understand if you're not being served, why should you tip somebody?
It's a good point. I don't really have any arguments against that.
At what point? Fine. I mean, why not just charge a set amount for the food and be done with it?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. Simple.
Or the worst part, and I caught on to this really quickly. They automatically add for larger groups. They'll just go ahead and throw in a tab for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't tell you that, though. You have to read the fine print. And I've been caught a time or two double tipping. At 100% for crying out loud. That's insane. All right, what would you do, ladies and gentlemen, if the waiter said, yeah, I'm going to need more, a better tip? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, I'm curious, do you tip like when you're at a fast food joint? Say you go to Chick-fil-A. Is it really true, by the way, that it's now called Satan's Chicken? Is that?
I think we've changed it from the Lord's Chicken. I don't know if it's Satan's Chicken.
It's hard to keep up.
It's like in the middle now. They need to redeem themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But your question, I don't think so. I don't think I tip at fast food.
Yeah, I don't think I would have ever. I don't think I've ever tipped at, you know, at a fast food.
They're making it harder and harder because McDonald's is just like a bunch of screens everywhere now. You don't even see a person at McDonald's.
That's sad.
So Chick-fil-A probably would be the only place I would tip because they actually bring your food out to you.
And they do it with a smile.
And they say my pleasure at the end.
Mm-hmm. They do. So. They do. And you got to try not to run over the people. Those kids, you know, yeah, they're running around the drive-thru and, you know, you don't
want to. Giving food out early and you can't just, you got to watch out for them.
What happens is, and you know, we've got the double drive-thrus now,
yeah,
so you have to be careful because what will happen is somebody in the drive-through lane closest to the building will inevitably get their food before the car in front of them,
yeah,
so they'll try to, you know, lurch out.
Yeah, somehow it is an efficient system. They do know, they have like little exits within the line that help you get out, but it's a little chaotic.
What happened to the cows?
The cows.
I miss the cows.
I haven't seen the cows in a minute.
The illiterate cows.
I hope that's not what the new chicken sandwich is. I think we're good there.
A burger? Jeez.
No, Chick-fil-A would never do that. Yeah, but I haven't seen their mascot back in the restaurant.
Yeah, they're coming out with apparently some new foods.
Yeah.
They lost me on kale.
The kale and then the, the cauliflower breast.
Oh, golly. Yeah, I had nightmares over that.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
You know, I took a bite and I said, oh, I can't. My tongue said, no, I can't swallow this.
It knew immediately. It wasn't real.
Yeah, I had to just, you know, spit it out.
No amount of breading could fix that.
No, but the weird thing was you took a bite out of that cauliflower thing and it like morphed back.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with that.
You're right.
Speaking of cows, Democrat Maxine Dexter, she is a white woman, and she says that white milk is a sign of white supremacy. I'm not kidding. She says that putting white milk in schools is akin to white supremacy. Now, I didn't realize this was a thing, but apparently it is a thing. This is the headline from the George Washington University Law School, The Troubling Link Between Milk and Racism. Oh, geez. So there is a Huffington Post report, and they're saying that there appears the reason why they say that milk is now connected to white supremacy is that apparently during a white nationalist podcast, some of the people on the show actually drank from a glass of milk. According to Huffington Post, these and other incidents have been described as evidence that some white supremacists are co-opting cow's milk as a symbol of their belief that white people are wholesome and pure. What if we like 2%?
You're a little better than if you like 2%.
I am a 2% guy, clearly not fat free, but
I'm not any. If you find me drinking milk by itself, you should probably fire me.
Yeah, I'm not a whole milk guy. No. Or whole milk for that matter.
She seems like the person that thinks chocolate milk comes from brown cows.
Well, that's the thing here. What about chocolate milk? I mean, and don't get me started on the strawberry Yoo-hoo.
Yeah, who knows what that is?
Yeah, that's frightening.
I don't even know what liquid that comes out of that.
Is that native? I don't
can't be.
Native milk? Hold on. Red, yellow, black, white. They are precious. I'm trying to go through the Sunday school song.
There's probably another flavor of milk out there we don't even know.
So, according to Huffington Post, right-wing news sites like Breitbart have mocked the idea that milk is racist. No kidding, Huffington Post. Those who noted milk's popularity with white supremacists have been taunted as fools who fell for what was just a prank that was not meant to be taken seriously. But whether or not the alt-right was indulging in a trolling exercise, some academics say these events are part of a murky history involving cow's milk. Well, okay. So what are they recommending we do here? That's the question. Are they suggesting that we have to eat something else with our cereal now? Do we compensate by drinking from brown milk? Pardon me, chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Is that what they're suggesting?
Well, if you mix the white milk with, say, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you know, it changes into a sort of cinnamony milk. It's not really white milk anymore.
You know, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's what they want.
And don't even get me started with the lactose intolerant crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they make milk for that now. It's like, I don't know what these drinks are. I don't think it's milk anymore.
Oh, you would have loved this. So I'm at Whole Foods the other day. And I parked again. They have like 78 little, you know, charging stations, yep. And nobody drives a battery powered car in the neighborhood.
Right.
So I just pull the Cadillac up, you know, and everybody's looking at me. They're staring at me, and I'm like, "Hey, how's it going?"
They probably just know it's your spot now.
Oh, they know who I am too. They're like, so inconsiderate.
They're starns.
So inconsiderate. What if somebody needed to plug their battery-powered car in?
For 30 minutes.
And you know what I would have done? I actually have an electrical outlet in my gas-powered Cadillac. I'm like, you know what? You can plug your car into mine. Well, I don't like mating cars like that. But
yeah, that's
you know what
too
I mean.
Intimate. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm in the Whole Foods, and I'm trying to get – I was going to get some milk. I was looking for milk, the 2%. So I'm walking, and there's like these – row after row of the cases. And finally, I'm throwing my hand. They've got the cashew milk and the almond milk and the squirrel milk and all this milk.
Don't forget about kefir.
That's
a brand.
Oh, I thought you smoked that.
That's like the raw. It's like unfiltered milk.
So finally, I'm tracking down one of the patchouli-scented Whole Foods workers. And I'm like, pardon me, can you help me? And they're like, yes, sir. What? They're very polite people, very kind people there at Whole Foods. And I said, Whole Foods worker, I need some help here. They said, what can we do for you, sir? I said, where is the milk for normal people? That's exactly what I said.
Where's the pagan milk, ma'am?
I'm like, can you just help me out? Help a brother out here. So anyway, they tried to sell me on this almond milk, and I just can't for the life of me. I'm like, how do you squeeze the almond? I mean, that's what gets me is like these little tiny almonds, and you're squeezing them.
It's a great question. The 2% is probably the most normal milk that you can find in there.
Yeah, and it didn't taste like milk. I'm going to have to probably switch back to Kroger milk or Super Low milk.
You're probably better off.
But I can't go to Super Low because they have a deli there.
Yeah.
But it's like a southern themed, you know, grocery. It's a great grocery store. But I can't go on Chitlin Day. It just you walk in and it just smacks you right upside the face.
It's very close to the dairy section.
Very too. Pungent.
Yeah.
Very pungent. So anyway, I don't know what they put in the milk over at Whole Foods, but it's not for me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. What were we talking about? Oh, yes, tipping. So anyway, back to, wow, that was sort of a roundabout sort of way. But they've got to get this figured out. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed is that so many restaurants are now shutting down. And everybody's blaming on the COVID. It's the COVID. It really changed people's eating habits. No, I don't think that's it. I think people are tired of going out for dinner, which used to be a nice, it used to be a rare thing, right? Once or twice a week, you go out for dinner and you want to be treated well. And, you know, the staff at a lot of these places, they could care less about you and they make that known. They, you know, you always have to, you know, at one point I was at a very nice restaurant, had to get up and ask for a glass of water or the waiter just disappeared. So I think people are tired of that. You know, the service industry really needs some work. Then, you know, the food, it's good, I guess. But, you know, when you're dealing with an irate, you know, Gen Z or millennial server and, you know, they feel like, you know, that you ought to be serving them. People just said, you know what, let's just stay home. And then when you've got the folks, and I don't know if this has been a big problem in your area, but people will come in to nice restaurants and they smell of the devil's lettuce. And that is an unappetizing thing when somebody comes in and you smell like a weed factory. And then, you know, by the way, the rule of thumb is when you go to a restaurant, you never order the appetizers. You know, they always get you on the appetizers. You just go in there, get your meal, order water, get out of there. But when you've got somebody coming into the restaurant and they smell of weed, all of a sudden you get the munchies, and the next thing you know, you're chowing down through the entire appetizer section.
I didn't think that's where you were going with that, but I can see how that would be the case.
Man, got any Funyuns? Got any Cheetos?
Hot fries. Wow.
So I think that's the reason. And then when you factor in the, you've got to, you know, pay almost double for your tip. People are like, you know what? Let's just stay home. And with all the YouTube videos now, you can actually make, you know, I made Red Lobster tartar sauce.
Ooh.
It was life changing.
Is it like in the, you got it from the grocery store? It's like a mix?
No. Oh. I made it from scratch.
Wow.
Went on the Instagram, and they had a Red Lobster tartar sauce recipe.
And it was good?
It was delicious. Wow. You cannot tell the difference.
Hey, sounds pretty good.
I'm just telling you.
To start a restaurant.
And it didn't cost me $30-$40.
That's true. No tipping on that.
And no bad attitude.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. On to a disturbing story. And this one, folks, I've often wondered why they don't talk about this. And I have a theory about why they're not talking about this. But Catherine Herridge came out with an interesting report the other day, talking about the number of kids who have been assaulted on school campuses. It's unbelievable the number of young people that have been sexually assaulted by teachers and staff in American classrooms. And it pales in comparison. You know, everybody talks about, oh, the Catholic schools pales in comparison to those numbers. And yet nobody's doing any stories about it at all. And I think one of the reasons why is because you've got all these perverts that are now working in public schools. and many of them are teaching these kids all about the alphabet activist community. So I'm glad to see that Catherine Herridge is, you know, exposing this, shining a light on a very disturbing story here in America. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. New survey from the University of Wisconsin-Madison faculty. They released a new survey today, and it shows an overwhelming ideological bias at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I know you are shocked. Here are some of the key results from the study at the Tommy G. Thompson Center. 70% of the faculty identify as liberal. Only 9% identify as conservative. Are you surprised by those numbers? I'm surprised it's not higher, to be honest with you. The bias getting worse by the generation. Assistant professors are more progressive than associate professors, who are more progressive than full professors. So what does this mean? Well, faculty said they would be less likely to support hiring a candidate who expressed a conservative view compared to one who expressed a liberal view on issues like abortion, immigration, transgender sports, or affirmative action. Faculty of all ideological backgrounds said that people with progressive views would feel welcomed on campus. They said conservatives would feel less welcome. Conservative faculty were especially concerned about this. Liberal faculty were more likely to value racial diversity, while conservatives were more likely to value ideological diversity. Yeah, I'm not surprised by this. But this, again, is something that the president is going to have to address. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get around to it. I really don't. I hope that is not the case, but we shall see. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Just a few moments ago, over at the White House press briefing, the White House doubling down, Caroline Leavitt calling on John Thune to move forward on the SAVE Act. It's not going to happen. It's going to take a lot for that to get across the finish line. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Where is that story? So this is from a report out of New Orleans, Louis Armstrong International Airport, where wait times still up to 4 hours to get through TSA checkpoints. Cut 14, please.
And then I walked over here, and my jaw dropped.
Travelers were shocked to see massive TSA lines span across Armstrong International Airport. Countless people were in the long line that spanned from the parking garage around the airline check-in area and ended on the second level.
I had to weave through a bunch of lines that was actually just one line for the security that wove all around, and it was, where does it start? And they're like, in the garage.
According to airport leaders, it's an impact from the partial government shutdown. On Sunday, they experienced a shortage of TSA workers, causing major delays through the security checkpoint.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is crazy.
The long wait times caused many travelers to miss their flights.
We get here, we go through customs, and it's so packed in here, you can't even find the direction they're trying to give.
No one wants to stand in this line for over an hour. So,
I mean, I've flown in and out of New Orleans a lot, and it's, you know, a big hub. So I'm like, they have the TSA on lock. It's never been like this.
While TSA workers tried to keep the lines moving, the delays altered travel plans for a lot of people.
I mean, we're completely in shock. Obviously, huge respect for the TSA workers that are here doing their jobs and making sure that people are able to get where they need to go.
Well, there you go. Here's the thing. Once you get into the airport there at New Orleans, the brand new airport, you're okay, because some of the best restaurants in all of America are actually located in their brand new airport facility. Dylan, I know for spring break, were you ever a spring breaker? Did you like to go travel, go down to the beach?
I did in high school. I think we went to the beach a couple times.
Yeah. Redneck Riviera?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you can't. Those were the good old days. We would never fly. It was always, you know, driving somewhere. And then in college, we had a really strong like Baptist Student Union group and our college group, and we would always go out on mission trips during spring break, which were a lot of fun. You know, you do good, and then you goof around. So
yeah. But this time seems terrible to go anywhere.
Yes, and I suspect even those college youth groups are losing their religion standing in lines that long.
They're staying at home doing a mission trip.
Now, there you go. A staycation. Stay missioncation something. Okay, we'll work on that. Folks, been a nice day. Thank you for hanging out with us today. 5 o'clock tonight, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. ToddStearns.com. We have a lot of great stories for you to check out there, including a story about a teacher that got in trouble for telling his kids to stop monkeying around. I got to read that one. Have a great one, everybody.